All right, Coach, you know, we give Ira a lot of crap here on the podcast. He says he knows you as your buddy. He loves you. You know, what can you say about Ira that you spent years around him as a journalist, as a guy?
Well, let me tell you this. He's got the greatest voice I ever heard. I can't imitate him well, but he's a friend of mine. And he's a guy I consider great at what he does because he does the work. And he watches practice. He takes pride in you know, getting the story correct. And he's just been loyal. I've always considered him a friend, and I consider him an expert when it comes to pro football.
I'm the demographic for X-Lax.
The Ira Kaufman Podcast, the podcast that stars the greatest sage of Tampa Bay sports, presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. We're so proud to have Ed Morse and the great quality at Ed Morse, more than 70-plus years of Ed Morse dealerships throughout Florida, great family-owned business. I buy my vehicles there at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. You're going to get that tremendous service. They are Hillsborough County's Cadillac dealerships at EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com and at EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. All the new offers are up and ready for September. The great savings continue at EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. I'm looking now at a made-to-move 2017 clearance event, including the 2017 XT5 standard ultra-low mileage lease for well-qualified lessees, $339 per month. Fantastic offer. All the details on the website and by contacting Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Looks like the weather might hold out, Ira, for Saturday. Everybody can get out and test drive, get some service done. Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher. Also, you want to head to EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. Start your search there. You know, we usually give details on the offers, but they just came out. And so it's really a great time to really go look at all the offers. Get that started at EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. My favorite right now, 2017 CTS or 2017 ATS sedan. I'm looking at the ATS sedan, $299 a month with zero down. Fantastic time to buy a vehicle, as most of you know. EdMorseCadillacTampa.com, EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com.
Yeah, yeah.
Game week Thursday on the Ira Kaufman Podcast here with the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports in his element here at One Buck Palace. Practice is ongoing right now. Ira, Dirk Cutter has yet to speak. However, we did get to talk to Mike Smith. You were hounding and grinding in the locker room as you do. Still grinding away. No power at the Kaufman household. Little Dante sweating too much. Glad to, you're here, though, in one piece, working hard.
We left him alone last night with only a flashlight on a table, shining up against the wall, and that's all little Dante had. Now, the dog's getting blind, Lee. He's got cataracts, cloudy eyes. He's going to be 14. The vet talked to us 6 months ago. Well, you know, you might want to get one of those eyes fixed, $3,500. I said, Doc, he's going to be 14. I understand, Mr. Kaufman. Just tell Joe Buck's fan to bump you up a little bit, and you can pay for the operation. So here we go, Steve. We're ready to go. This is our last podcast before the season opener, gentlemen. So
the way it's going, you wonder if it's going to be played.
At least we know 1 o'clock it's going to be there. And by the way, I am making my debut live on the field, 10:30 in the morning on Fox 13.
On the field.
I will need a special on-field credential. And just for a little history, because our listeners love these little nuggets, Steve, many times have I tried to get on the field before a Bucks game, and the PR department's watching me like a hawk. Why do you need to get out there? Well, I want to talk to somebody. That's not good enough. This time, they got no choice because they're going to get an email from Fox 13 saying, I have legitimate business on the field. I'm going to be on there with their Scott Smith before the game, offering sage wisdom, Mr. Isbitz, and, of course, a nice little plug for Joe Bucks fan.
Now, you used to prowl the sidelines before the game, did you not?
They changed the policy about 5 years ago. Meanwhile, I look down with my binoculars, you know, 2 hours before every game from the press box, and I see every schnook in the world is out there. You know, there's 300 people milling the sidelines. They got nothing to do with journalism, and nobody stops them. But if I take one step in that elevator, I got three PR people following me downstairs. Where you going, Kaufman?
Yeah, I know the feeling there, but now...
What, are they afraid I'm going to talk to a Glazer, Steve? Is that the worry? Is that the concern?
Now, that's the concern, but if I remember right, now here's a good story. Now, you were talking about fans like nuggets. Here you go. Didn't you get scolded and had a finger wagged in your face by Bruce Allen one time before a game that you had a scoop on a story and it was broken on a Sunday Morning Tribune and you prowled the sidelines and Allen chewed you out for that story?
Well, one time in San Francisco when they sent Simeon home, I was out there, looking, trying to track down Bruce Allen or a Glazer to try to get that story. It very well could have happened that Allen chewed me out and saying, what the heck are you doing out here? You don't belong out here. But now, as our listeners know, I got a brand new relationship with Bruce Allen.
Ira, you've been chewed out so many times by Bruce Allen, so you don't even remember.
I can't remember. I seem to recall.
I think it was the morning where I said Gruden's campus put out feelers to other teams in 2000. That might have been the one.
I didn't have credentials then. This time I had credentials, and then word, it was up in the press box. People were talking about, did you hear what happened to Ira?
Oh.
And so we're talking like 2009, 2000. Maybe.
Well, it could have been during the Brett Favre saga. I was out there, maybe a preseason game.
Well, this was a regular season game.
Oh, regular season game.
You broke some kind of story. I can't remember the story, but the word was that when you were on the sidelines.
I was dressed down. Absolutely.
You were dressed down by Allen. How dare you write this story? Even though you were accurate. You were accurate. You nailed it. It was a bullseye. But Bruce Allen wagged the finger.
Well,
how dare
I remember
you write
it
this?
Now. I remember.
Accuracy means nothing when it comes to.
I remember this was John Fox's last year with the Panthers. And you were on the field and you dipped into the pregame sideline buffet that they have for the coaches. And I think they didn't like the blueberry muffin. You stole the blueberry muffin. Because that's what you do.
We got NFL football. We got Buck football.
Real football.
We've got some serious stuff, and it's good that it's finally here, and it seems real with the team practicing under sunny skies.
Everybody was back on Tuesday night. They did a walkthrough. Walkthrough at $1. Everybody showed up.
It's great
to hear.
They're
and accounted for.
I'm sure you got stories from players about how they dodged the hurricane. I've got two great stories. But
I talked to Dotson today. I said, you good to go, Dot? Absolutely ready to go. My understanding is all these guys with the nicks and bruises going to be ready to go on Sunday.
Did you hear what Dotson went through?
Yes. Yeah.
Harrowing, Steve.
Harrowing drive to Alexandria, Louisiana.
Well, Ira, let me hit you in a coordinated fashion here. You were in the locker room today, cruising around. What's your best two nuggets out of the locker room today?
All right. One nugget, which I think Buck fans have to know about, and they're not going to like it. Look, the Bears played a very competitive game. The Falcons have a very fast defense. That's what Dan Quinn preaches. And he's got it. And the Bears unveiled a rookie, a fourth-round pick. I think it was out of North Carolina A&T. His name is Tariq Cohn. Now, don't get excited, Buck fans. I don't think the kid's Jewish. Tariq Cohn, C-O-H-E-N.
So,
and he's a running
He doesn't
back.
Do Seder?
No matzah for Cohn. But he's a scat back with blinding speed. Now, Mike Smith called him a game wrecker. And I had a private conversation with Gerald McCoy in the locker room. And I had already talked to John Fox on the conference call because I wanted to ask him some Rondé Barber questions. So I missed a lot of the locker room. I came back in late after guys had already talked. And I see McCoy there. There's nobody around him. So I go up to him. Kaufman, you're late again, Kaufman. And I go, take it easy, McCoy. I was talking to John Fox, getting a quote about Rondé Barber for my Hall of Fame presentation. Oh, you're excused, Ira. And I said, I might be making that presentation for you in about a decade because you got to be retired about 5 years. He goes, all right, point taken, Ira. What do you need? And I said, well, I assume you've scouted the Bears, or at least preliminarily. And what do you know about this guy, Cohn? I know a lot about him. He's got blinding speed, and he's going to be a problem.
Mm.
This is an added dimension to a Chicago offense who we believed up until a week ago was Jordan Howard and a bunch of, Mo Curley and Larrys. This guy can stretch the field, Steve. He caught 8 passes. He's a running back. And they like to get him the ball in space. He had a lot of touches. So Howard is your between the tackles pounder, for Swaggy Baker to contain. And this guy Cohn is going to put a lot of pressure, I believe, on the Buck linebackers to make tackles in space and don't let this guy turn an 8-yard pass into 38 yards. So the Bears played a pretty competitive game. I didn't see the game because I still got no power. My understanding is they dropped 2 touchdown passes that were well-thrown balls by Glennon in the final minute where they would have won the game. 2 guys dropped touchdown passes. So, according to John Fox, Glennon played a pretty solid game. He was pretty happy with him.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily call those drops. Actually, listen to Jim Miller from the ex-Bears quarterback. He was on Chicago radio. and they were really dissecting that last drive. And actually, the word out of Chicago, the spin out of Chicago, whatever you want to call it, is those balls were just a little bit of hair poorly thrown by Glennon.
Difficult catch.
A little behind.
Difficult
catch. That Glennon screwed up the throws. But either way, they were that close to winning where you're talking about balls that were catchable but not necessarily drops. But, yeah, it is interesting. And, you know, we talked about this the other day in the podcast. Tariq Cohen and I, well, let's go to what Mike Smith had to say. So you've been around Mike Smith for many years, but the way he talked about Tariq Cohen, a lot of sincerity in his voice there.
You know, I think he's trying to send a message to his players. Don't take the Bears lightly. McCoy says this is going to be a tough matchup. This is going to be a good game. Better be ready to play. Dotson says they can't wait to play. You know, not, no knock on the Bears. But they're, you know, they haven't played a competitive, you know, a decent game. There might be some rust, Steve. There could be a rust factor. But I think the Bucs do have an advantage seeing, you know, Chicago on tape. Now, while Mike Smith did say all those things about Cohn, Lee, my feeling, my gut feeling about Smith is he's going in pretty confident. He likes his talent. He thinks T.J. Ward is going to be a major addition. So do I. Maybe not early in the season, mm-hmm. but certainly within a month. And the extra week helped T.J. Ward.
How much?
With mental reps. Mental.
Yeah.
Getting into playbook.
Now, was that you that asked, I think it was you that asked him about Ward, wasn't it?
No, that was Cummings. That's asked Cummings. About seven questions.
Yeah,
about
it was seven
Ward.
Questions about Ward. It was interesting, I thought, what Smith said about Ward. And this might be lost on some Bucs fans. And this gets back to the Hurricane. When the Bucs, not all players went to Charlotte. A lot of players, you know, we talked about Dotson and his harrowing 25-hour drive to Louisiana, stuck in traffic with three gas cans in his trunk, make sure he doesn't get lost or out of gas. Well, anyway, the guys that did go to Charlotte, remember, they're on a bye week, and they cannot have any kind of team activities whatsoever. So even though the Blazers got a good chunk of Bucks players up to Charlotte, they were on their own. They couldn't do mental reps together. They couldn't do workouts together. Nothing organized by the team. That's verboten in the NFLPA rules. So everybody thought, oh, this extra week will help out Ward. Well, Mike Smith pointed out they haven't been on a practice field. So
I think the Buck defense is going to show up big time on Sunday. Now, Lee, you made this point the other day, and I think you're right. The offense showed very, very little in the preseason. Don't read too much into the preseason. But they were out of sync, penalties, lethargic. Now, I didn't see too many deep balls to DeSean Jackson, which we might see on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And by the way, which we better see on Sunday. You don't bring in a weapon like DeSean Jackson and not test the Bears downfield. And I don't care if you get a couple of incompletions right off the bat. I don't care.
Put the fear on him.
You got to put the fear. McCoy was the Bears have a pretty good offensive line, and McCoy was telling me that he has a tremendous amount of respect. Josh Sitton says one of the best guards in football, and I think he might line up head up on McCoy. So, look, I said it the other day, Steve. I'm going to say it again, and I even told Mike Smith to his face today. I got him in the hallway after after the podium.
You buttonholed him.
I said,
we need video on you. Undercover video.
Hey, my guys at Joe Bucks fan are all over me. They want me to lay off Swaggy Baker. Swaggy Baker, you've been too tough on him, Kaufman. And he looked at me, and I said, Mike, my main point is none of his antics, none of this is going to matter, and none of it's going to be discussed if he shows up on Sunday. He goes, you're absolutely right, Kaufman.
I said,
will he show up on Sunday? He says, I think he will.
So Smith was giving you a hard time about
A little Swaggy Baker. But he understands it. He understood it.
Where's the bark?
And I said, he put a target on his back, and Mike Smith said, I understand that. But he's confident he will show up against the Bears. And they're a run-heavy team. So
they better be.
Did Smith shove you against the wall, like hold your collar and say, look, Calvin, lay off.
Didn't even bring me anything out of the lunchroom. They got nice beet salads in there, Rusty.
They got everything.
Instead, I had to run to Wendy's with Martin Fennelly. Lucky we found a place open.
Sorry to hear that. Hey,
Martin's a good guy.
Let me clarify two things. First, your appearance Fox Sunday.
Yes.
That's Scott Smith's pregame show.
It's going to be live.
I believe 10:30 kicks off.
10:30 to 11, I believe, yes.
And so we get to see the Sage live on television.
With a sports coat, gentlemen. Sports coat. No tie. Out of deference for Isbin.
Was that in your good negotiations? No tie? No tie? We can get you a Joe Buck.
Now, by the way, I taped something last week in the studio, last Wednesday, and it ended up on the cutting room floor. Never made the show.
Now, I got to ask you, I don't own a haberdashery. My dad would slap me for asking this question, but what do they call it? It's not a tie, but it's got a neckerchief. It
not
looks
a
like a tie.
Bone or something.
Is that what it is?
I don't know.
You know what
I'm
talking
about,
right?
Whatever you're referring to, I'm not wearing it.
And what's with these? You know, they could have put their whole pregame show on the internet. We all could have enjoyed it. I don't understand these companies. All right, I can't knock
Good
your new
point.
Employer.
I got bumped for hurricane armor.
I got it. It's fair. Now, of course, your podcast is available on iTunes, Podbean, Google Play. Also, if you go to joebucksfan.com/podcast, there's a special Android option there. I forget what it's called. Doesn't really matter. It's there.
I'd like
Check
to apologize, Steve, offer an apology, take you off the hook for anybody who thought that the Tuesday podcast was posted a little later than normal. Look, I got no power. You know, DeKemper's dealing with a lot of branches down and Isbits, of course, in your little hovel. There was no damage. But we were scrambling yesterday, guys. We went to three different places to try to do that podcast. So, Steve, you did a very good job getting it out as quickly as you did, but we couldn't do it, you know, bright and early Tuesday morning.
It's all good. Anybody who subscribes to the podcast on any of these platforms gets an automatic alert. So all the good subscribers got an alert. And I do have damage. I already told you my fence is down. I'm getting a little too intimate with my neighbor right now.
No walking around in the nude anymore.
No more naughtiness in the yard. And,
but the Thursday podcast will be bright and early, right?
Thursday podcast, we're back on schedule because this is Wednesday. Yes, Lee.
Is this the first time in this building? Is that the first time in this building the word hovel was ever used?
I just drove a cummerbund. I don't know if anybody's used that one.
Oh, I bet, you know,
and
people wear tuxes around here. Hovel.
Is it hovel? I think I always thought it was hovel. Is it hovel?
I don't know what it is.
H-O-V-E-L, hovel, isn't it?
If the shoe fits, wear it.
I think it's hovel. Pretty sure it's hovel. Well, that'll be our
Casa Isbit.
Our word
Casa
of the day.
Casa.
Thank you, Ira. Thank you. All right. So let's go back to the locker room, Ira. Number one, you gave me Gerald McCoy and his take. And number two, obviously, we got a little sideline here. Mike Smith cornering you in the hall, all that stuff. What else did you learn in the locker room today?
Well, Dotson was talking at length about his personal journey. And it was, you called it harrowing, Lee. I think you're right. He's on the road to Alexandria, Louisiana.
25 hours.
And that's a long drive, Lee, when there's no traffic, Steve. You know, and he said the traffic coming back was even worse. You know, he's been through a lot. He can't wait to play.
Of course it was worse. Who evacuates to Alexandria, Louisiana?
He can't wait to play. He can't wait to hit somebody. And I've got the quotes, and I haven't transcribed them, but they're going to be in today's column. Basically, DeMar Dotson said, no excuses. Fans don't want to hear anything. If we lose, we're going to hear it from the fans. And I said, would that be justified? Absolutely.
Now, I can't remember who I talked to. I've been reedy. Someone, I've got to listen to my recordings. But one of the offensive players said that Cutter told him, you guys are professionals. No excuses. You knew you guys are supposed to be in shape. You knew.
That was what Dotson says. We're paid professionals.
Now, I got to interject something here. Havel, doesn't matter. I looked up pronunciation. But Steve ought to be insulted here. You know what the definition of hovel is? Not just house.
Something dilapidated?
Oh, yeah, dump.
Yeah, small, squalor, unpleasant, simply constructed dwelling.
I stand by my description.
So it's not hovel?
How do you spell it?
H-O-V-E-L.
H-O-V-E-L.
You can pronounce hovel, you can pronounce havel. There's various pronunciations, but either way, it's a shanty.
Now,
let's
be honest. I have been in Isbit's home, and it is a lovely home. Lovely home.
Well, knowing his wife, she wouldn't live in a
shanty. And now I'm
shanty.
Exaggerating the other way.
Now you're exaggerating. All right, Ira. So, interesting stuff.
These guys are ready.
No excuses. No excuses. And I think that's fair. And
by the way, the Bucks are 7-point favorites, Steve. 7 points. That's been a while since they've been 7-point favorites over anyone.
Oh, by the way, here's the second definition. A comical building.
What is this, Abbott and Costello?
It's Merriam-Webster.
Steve, Bucks favored by 7. Even with that, you know, horrible home record over the last few years, which we have detailed in great measure.
Sure. Well, look, Vegas sees 4 in a row at home. So they believe that something has changed.
But the Bears were respectable last week.
The Bears were respectable, solid defense, but the Bucks should be better here by any stretch. Lee, you know, any vibe from the locker room you want to share? Anything that would lead you to believe that the Bucks shouldn't be a 7-point favorite?
No, there's not. But to my point about that, I like to call it the week one overreaction. Every year, people look at the week one results and they overreact. You know, Belichick's going to have a losing season.
Brady's going downhill.
Blake Bortles is a Pro Bowler. You know, it's calm down. Calm down.
Yeah, the Texans are going to go 4-12, where a lot of people were picking them to go 10-6.
Well, they put Tom Savage out there every game. Yeah,
I understand.
Well, I think the overreaction is natural and normal, and it's understandable because you wait so long for football. I mean, you wait months and months and months and months. It's hard not to.
But I call your attention to the 2016 Falcons. I got to give Isbitz his due. Bucks went in there. You know, won in dramatic fashion. Mm-hmm. Hell of a win for the Bucks. Mm-hmm. From an Atlanta perspective, they were crying the blues. You can't lose to a team that went 2-14 and 6-10 in the previous 2 years at home. Falcon fans were going crazy. I said that looked like a 5-11 Atlanta team. Isbitz said, I read it, they're pretty good. They're going to have a pretty good season. They were more than pretty good. And by the way, that leads me. I'm gonna do this shout out to Mr. Winston. And when I threw this out there. On a column, the Kemper thought it was a typo. He probably called you immediately and said, Steve, you got to fix this because Kaufman got this wrong. But I didn't get it wrong. The kids played 32 NFL games, 32 mm-hmm. starts, mm-hmm. 32 first quarters, five touchdown passes.
Not good.
Five touchdown passes in the first quarter. Steve, the Bucks not only have to start quicker on the season and get out of that 1-3 nonsense, but Winston's got to himself has to start quicker.
Agree.
All right, so Ira, now we got last year the Bucks opened in Atlanta, and this year they open at home. And we know how hyped up, crazy Jameis gets overhyped. That's one of the reasons he does not have success in the first quarter. Last year against the Bears, he threw a pick in the first quarter against these same Bears. So knowing all this hurricane stuff and all of the hype of opening at home, and the stick carriers, and it's going to be a rocking crowd from, you know, with a lot of Bears fans mixed in. Where do you see Jameis performing this week in early in the first half, first quarter, first half? Does he show that maturity where he can stay a little calm? And do the Bucks do anything to try to keep him calm?
I think it's a slight concern, Lee. It's a slight concern. Two things. One, you can either try to soften up the Bears with some runs and see what you got with your running game, which Cutter's very curious about. He's as curious as we are. He doesn't know.
Oh, I'm not curious. I know.
There you go. Or you try to get Winston on rhythm with some shorter passes. And then when he gets his confidence up, then you go to DeSean Jackson deep, and you always got Mike Evans as a safe option. Look, I may be way out of bounds here, but
guys,
I'm telling you, with the way the NFL rules are set up, and you see it every damn week in this league, on these long passes, the corners don't turn around. They don't know how to play it anymore. They don't turn around. They got mm-hmm. the back to their play. So that automatically, if you're an official, you're ready to throw a flag. Now, if the guy happens to stick his hand up and knock the ball down, no flag. But boy, do I see cornerbacks totally flummoxed these days because you can't hit these guys downfield. You can't hit them. So, look, I'm going to be a broken record till the Bucks prove they can do this, but you got to try to throw deep in this league because you're going to get some flags and you're going to get some completions.
Well, to your point, and it's not just looking at the ball. To your point, Sunday night, and I know you only got to the first quarter and the power was
on. Eli Manning went back to pass. Next thing I know, I had a blank screen like the end of The Sopranos. And I was wondering, where's Gandolfini?
You and half the people in your beloved Brooklyn. Now, Sunday night, Janoris Jenkins, pretty good corner, was going up against Dez Bryant.
Darn good corner. Yeah.
There were three or four plays. Jenkins had his eye on the ball. There were three or four plays you could have flipped a coin, interference or not. One play where he was flagged for interference, it sure looked like he played it perfectly. There were other plays where it looked like he did interfere where he got away with it. So to your point, you throw the ball up there, it's almost a 50-50 shot, you're going to get a flag.
Yeah. I mean, there's no more excuses for Cutter not throwing deep balls because last year he didn't have anybody with speed, and that includes Mike Evans. He's not a burner.
Yeah.
He's not a burner.
All right, question for you, Ira, just a little fun.
He's great, but he's not a burner. A
little fun here because fans love your sage insight and wisdom and all the 70 years of covering the NFL that you bring to the table. Dirk Cutter, let's say the Bucks win the toss on Sunday. What does Dirk Cutter do?
Forget about all this nonsense about defer. I don't want to hear the word defer on Sunday. Give me the football. I got new weapons. We're going to go out there. We're going to take control of this game. What will he likely do? We defer. We take the ball in the second half.
So you don't believe the Bobby Bowden philosophy? I'll have my defense hold him and give me that ball to start the second half, and we'll blow him out.
Buck fans want to see this offense in action. So do the three of us. So do the stick carriers. Let the dogs out. Let the dogs out.
Yeah, I'm glad you didn't tell me that was a stupid question, because I'm very curious. I'm curious to see what the mentality is from Cutter if they win the toss.
Give me the ball, Lee.
That might tie into the way they've approached this whole week as well. All right, Ira, another question for you. First, let us take a short pause to celebrate Ed Moore's Cadillac Tampa and Ed Moore's Cadillac Brandon. Everyone visit edmoorescadillactampa.com and edmoorescadillacbrandon.com for all the fantastic September offers. Summer is ending. Great time to buy a vehicle. All the new 2018s are rolling out.
People in this area, Steve, they need a reason to feel good. And a visit to Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. I think you walk away feeling very chipper, because you're going to be shocked at the deals that they're offering. It's a pick-me-up. So, you know, before the Buck game on Sunday, which is going to be another pick-me-up, go out there, check out their inventory, Steve. I think they're going to be very happy.
To take a page away from a Chucky commercial, and you said celebrate. Are they going to have streamers?
No streamers at Ed Moore's Cadillac Tampa and Ed Moore's Cadillac Brandon, but fantastic service, great lounges to relax, fantastic snacks. I know you're a big snack fan, Ira.
You need a nice cold 7-Up. They'll accommodate you.
And whatever
trail mix.
Whatever you need. And, of course, you can just enjoy your own trail mix at Ed Moore's Cadillac Tampa. .com and edmoorescadillacbrandon.com.
The gear on right now,
right,
Steve.
On your phone.
I don't fool around.
You're sporting the gear. I know. You're always sporting the gear. Ira Lee.
And I'm going to wear it Sunday morning with Scott Smith on Fox 13. Don't think I won't.
What about the sport
question
coat?
Is what kind of color? And maybe the hat, too. Maybe the hat, too.
Steve. I thought you had a sport coat.
Well, I got a sport coat, but I'm going to have that Ed Moore shirt, and I'm going to have the coat open so it's got the logo still showing.
That would be nice. That would be nice. They would love that over at Ed Moore's.
And Scott Smith will say, your coat's wide open, Calvin. What are you doing? Hey, it's the breeze.
And you'll say, hey, I'd be happy my pants are on, all right?
Hopefully they are.
All right, Ira. Lee asked Mike Smith earlier today. He said, hey, look, Noah Spence, well, what kind of production, what kind of snap counts? Really, question.
Very
was,
specific question.
What kind of playing time are you looking for Noah Spence? And Mike Smith didn't say, well, we're really excited to see if Noah can be a three-down player for us. He pretty much said, well, he danced like a ballerina, and then he said, well, we want to make sure he's rested for the fourth quarter. What the hell did that mean?
What it means is he's not going to be a three-down player. Not yet. He's not going to be a three-down player. Why is Robert Ayers on this team, if that's the case? Golston's going to play left end, to start as a stout run defender, which he is. Mm-hmm. We know who the defensive tackles are going to be, that three-man rotation, which is a pretty solid rotation if Baker's the real deal. And, look, my information is he's a good football player. We'll see. My binoculars are going to be on Swaggy Baker. I've said it before. While DeKemper's looking at Quan Alexander, I'm looking at the guy right in front
Lee
of him.
Lee will be looking at the cheerleaders, the new
in
crop.
Plays.
And new crop between plays, of course, very important.
But
no, so, Ira, come on. You didn't give me enough here. Noah Spence. Well, what is this?
He's not a three-down player. Not yet. If he ever will be, we don't know. Jury's out. We'll know when it happens. But, I think we would have got a more definitive answer from Mike Smith today if he was ready to commit to that. He's going to have to split time with Ayers. Jack Smith might be in an equation now. Usually comes off the left edge, Smith. We'll see what happens. But, I don't get the impression, Lee, do you, that they're counting on 60 snaps from Noah Spence?
Yeah, that's why I asked it. I was curious. Now, granted, the game will dictate how many snaps he does get. And Mike Smith all but said that. And I even, in my question, I know, the game dictates it. And he was hoping that they get enough pass situations that where they will bring Spence off the bench on the field and make him rush the pass. But he sure sounds one-dimensional right now.
By the way, when I asked Fox about the Buck defense and some of the additions, he mentioned T.J. Ward, spoke at length about T.J. Ward.
He coached him, didn't he?
Yes, and he says, I'm very familiar with T.J. Ward, and heck of an addition to the Bucks. Heck of an addition. Now, how much he'll be of a factor this Sunday, week one, in effect, mm-hmm. for the Bucks, You know, he's been taking mental reps. Well, it's not the same as physical reps. He's out there today. And you know, where McNichols wasn't getting into the playbook, T.J. Ward's in the playbook.
You mean Mr. Playbook McSnoop Dogg was not in the playbook?
Did McNichols play Sunday? Did you?
He's on the practice squad. He's on the practice squad.
Well, they could have used him because they showed nothing against the Panthers.
Well, Panthers, you know, I was going to ask you about that. It was on my list. The Panthers, not just a victory in San Francisco, but an extremely dominant victory by their defense. I think San Francisco was something like 1 for 8 on third down and 1 for 4 on fourth down. You know, Carolina has Buffalo on Sunday at home. Should be a victory for them. If they go 2-0, does that scare you?
Well, I think it'll be more impressive if they do against the Bills, because at least they got LeSean McCoy. The 49ers got a pop gun offense, guys. I mean, let's be honest about this. They don't scare anybody on offense.
Two words. Brian Hoyer. I mean,
Kyle Shanahan's a heck of a play caller, but you got to have the pieces. He had Matt Ryan last year and Julio Jones.
I'm surprised the 49ers haven't gotten to tampering issues, because they openly slobber over Kirk Cousins. Slobber openly. They want him so bad. So, I mean, what's that tell you when you got a quarterback like Brian Hoyer and they openly are trying to get?
By the way, gentlemen, did you see who won the Week 1 awards for AFC Defensive Player of the Week, gentlemen? Any guesses?
I did not pay attention.
I did see.
Might be a Mr. Calais Campbell from the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Well, not a surprise. Certainly not a surprise. But you know what? All right, Ira, one question. I'll throw it at Lee, too, both of you guys. If you had one game to win at quarterback, you pick Brian Hoyer or you pick Mike Glennon?
Oof.
I think Hoyer's a much better quarterback.
Yeah, I agree, Hoyer. But that's not saying a whole lot.
Right, which ties back to this week. You know, pop gun offense is because, I mean, they have some talent out there in the receiving core, and they have a good running back.
The Bears lost that Kevin White. He's out again. Boy, that guy's snake bit.
Just like Jack Smith, they're always hurt.
I don't want to call him a bust because he's never on the field, Steve. I don't see if he's, you know, I haven't checked out his talent.
You're like me, Ira. I can't, if a guy's hurt, I can't call him a bust. If a guy can't play, that's a bust. I thought Mike Smith, you know, he was asked about Glennon, and I kind of thought, I hate to say this, but I kind of thought, let's just say he was embellishing things.
I think so.
When he said he carved
us up in practice
times. Came off the practice field shaking his head like, oh, my gosh, we're going to have a rough Sunday. I'll be polite and say he was embellishing things.
Mike Smith had his head coaching hat on at the podium today.
Well, it was
he's not giving any bulletin board material.
Well, it was funny. He was talking about, you mentioned carved up. I think that was the verb he used.
I think it was.
Saying that Glennon carved him up in practice. Well, it made me think of, if I was there, I wasn't in that session, I would have wanted to ask Mike Smith, was that before the bye week or after the bye week? Because, goodness, you know, maybe it was foretelling if Glennon was ripping apart that defense early on, which got ripped apart by most teams. But let me go back to the question Lee answered. You really didn't really answer, Ira. Hoyer or Glennon, one game to win?
Just the fact that we're debating it tells you all you need to know, guys. Tells you all you need to know about Glennon. Glennon, there was a quote about Steve DeBerg, who lasted a long time in this league. And I think Mike Glennon's going to play 10 years in this league. I do. I didn't say as a starter.
Yes.
I think he's going to be in this league for 10 years. But the quote, I think it was Bill Walsh who had DeBerg in San Francisco before Montana came along and knocked him, you know, out of a starter role. And it's a harsh line. It's probably one of the harshest lines that you could say. But Steve DeBerg's just good enough to get you beat.
Yeah.
I mean, what a line. I don't think Glennon's as good as DeBerg, by the way. DeBerg had some good years with the Chiefs, with Schottenheimer. He had some good years.
Who else was, I mean, he was like 40 years old with the Dolphins?
With Atlanta. He went to the playoffs with the
Yes, the Atlanta the Falcons. That's right. Yeah. Atlanta Falcons. Here's trivia for you. I think it was DeBerg. I'm not positive. Is DeBerg or Montana? I want to see DeBerg. I was in high school. Montana was drafted, 79? I was a senior in high school at the time. But I want to say it was DeBerg was playing for the Niners. Walsh was coach. First year, if I remember right. He had laryngitis. They hooked up a speaker to the back of his shoulder pads and had a mic on him so they could hear the calls because he had laryngitis. I've never seen that before or after, that a quarterback had laryngitis.
And, of course, we had DeBerg here in Tampa. You know, before Vinny came along in 1987 as the number one overall
kid. Went to high school here, played at the Sickles, if I remember right.
Yeah.
Yeah, DeBerg actually has been around. I think he still lives here.
I think he does.
He spent a lot of time one-on-one training Rex Grossman, reviving his career up in the Keystone area.
And a very cerebral quarterback, DeBerg. Very smart.
Yeah, I believe.
Yeah, like one of these coaches on the sideline kind of guys.
From what I understand, he's got some brain-related issues related to football. So I know hopefully he's in good shape, but that was 6-8 years ago that he was having some issues from what I was told.
Oh.
So hopefully he's okay. But
I think Walsh coached him maybe for 2 years before Montana
came
along.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Great speaker, too. He was the kind of guy I wondered why he didn't go into broadcasting, DeBerg, really. You know, you were spending time around him. A good guy. All right, Ira, let's jump ahead to the actual game. So here we are. You finished on the sidelines with Fox Sports.
I get chased back up to the press box by a couple of PR people.
So wait a minute.
You have some brisket?
You're going to be in very early. So does this mean you eat breakfast at home, or do you just load up at the stadium when you get here?
Well, I get the bagel with the schmear at about 8:30, cup of coffee, getting my Cadillac, and motor on down to the parking lot. I will be uncommonly early.
Yeah,
because
it's live TV.
Yeah,
you can't
be
late.
They want me on site 10:15. Be ready. So, I got to leave early, and that'll beat the fierce traffic down to Ray J on a fall Sunday coming down Dale Mabry. I'm going to be in place. You know, when I get out of the car, I put the sports coat on. When I go to get my bags checked, they're going to all be shocked. Kaufman, you're usually dressed in rags. What the hell are you doing here with a sports coat? And by the way, let me check your bag over there. And they go through it with a fine tooth. I don't know what they're looking for, DeKemper.
They're looking for a bomb.
What are they looking for in my bag? I got nothing in there. You're lucky I got a pen.
Well, I got to say this. Is there any better way to start a Sunday morning than with a schmear?
A schmear. And then, go down, be on the field, 10:15.
So you're wrapped up by 11, and then you'll
my primary objective is to beat Roy Cummings to Raymond James Stadium. I don't think I've ever done it in about 15 years. Don't ask me when Cummings gets there.
5 o'clock in the morning.
Waiting at the gate for them to open.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think I'm going to beat him. I think I'm going to beat him because I'm going to be in place about 9:30. Now, Roy can't possibly get to the stadium at 9:30. I don't even think they've opened up the Eggs Benedict by then, Lee.
they serve breakfast here at the stadium?
I don't think so. So
they have pastries, don't they, or something?
I'm going to be back up, promptly at 11 o'clock because as soon as I make two steps towards Joel Glazer, I'm going to get somebody to give me one of those tackles, horse collar tackles. Where you going? It could be anybody. It could be Brian Ford doing it. But they're going to escort me off the field. I'll be back in the press box by 11 and having my normal pregame meal with DeKemper.
Quick announcement here on, remember, this is Wednesday when we're taping. Abe's Place in Clearwater reopened today. So, unfortunately, they had a handful of days off, but they reopened today. Football Sunday, we'll be flying there. And, of course, they'll be back with their $5 opening day beer bucket, special reopening day. $5 buckets of Budweiser, 5 beers for $5. It's a deal you can love, Ira.
Anything going on at Abe's on the road game week 2?
We're figuring out the schedule with Abe's, maybe something even special for this Sunday. But stick to JoeBucksFan.com to find out what's going on at Abe's. That's special, but I'm glad they got to reopen. Local business hurt, by the storm. What they probably lost 4 or 5 days business. It's been tough on these local business owners.
I've got a question for Ira here. Good. You said you're going to have the schmear. Are you a locks kind of guy?
Well, not often, but once in a while. On top of a schmear, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing.
Do you have a special bagel shop you go to?
And it's got it's got to be the Nova Lox. I don't like the belly lox. It's too salty.
Too salty for you?
Too salty.
Now, Mr. Isbitt's turned me on to a place years ago. I guess it's still open. Little mom and pop shop in Clearwater, a bagel joint. And
not on Gulf to Bay.
It is. It's near the high school. Near Clearwater High School.
That might be right next to the tennis shop.
I think so, yes.
Yeah,
tennis and soccer.
That bagel place has been around a long time, Steve.
It's still open?
It is. Yeah, it's still there. Sure, yeah, been there forever.
It's a favorite of Steve's.
I know that your picture is up in the tennis shop. I've seen it before.
Ah, how about that?
Wanted.
Hey, I got a question.
Cheater.
I got a question for Isbitts. Lee, may I proceed?
Yes.
In the words of Mad Dog Russo, you may continue. And I've used that on him a couple of times. He was shot.
That's right. You may continue.
All right, Steve, I'm putting you on the spot. What are you expecting from the stick carriers on Sunday at Ray J? Will people in the crowd that are not stick carriers be aware of their impact?
Yeah, look, the stick carriers are marching in together from a massive tailgate, joining forces with the well-known What the Buck tailgate.
Where's the tailgate?
Go to Twitter, @WhatTheBuck, or @Commish Online. You'll get all the tailgate details. I forget which side street
it's
on.
The north end zone, the south end
zone? I don't want to give wrong information, okay. But just all you go to whatthebuck.net, it's all there.
I think I know where, but like Steve, I don't want to give any information.
Will Pulowski be on hand?
Yeah, of course, of course. Here's the deal. There's going to be a march into the stadium, a coordinated march. They did this for the preseason game, Ira, so this is nothing new.
Security freaked out, didn't they?
Yeah, there was some security issues with the weather and the lightning and the searching, but they've straightened all that out. There's going to be a march. There were 1,000 marching at the preseason game, Ira. I'm looking for about 2,000 to be marching in.
So when the gates open, they'll be marching.
They'll be marching shortly after. I mean, gates open quite early, but they're going to be in place at the latest in the stadium by 12 o'clock, no question. And they'll be doing cheering, announcing, doing like a roll call thing, chanting each player's name until they acknowledge.
Are a lot of them sitting in the same sections, Steve?
No, they're all over the place. There are a lot of stick carriers who've moved their seats to section 119, but it's definitely not a hub or anything like that. The fans are all over the stadium. They'll be marching in and then scattering. And
stick carrier shirts? In abundance?
There'll be plenty of them in jerseys and all that kind of stuff. And, yeah, it's real. It's absolutely real. I know you don't believe it. You're a believe it when I see it kind of guy. It's the Brooklyn in you.
Well, I did see it at that training camp, and it was a beautiful sight. There's no question
about
it.
But it's very big.
This is a full, this is Raymond James Stadium and not bleachers.
And that's what makes it better is because the intensity of the stick carriers fan group is going to, it's so easy to rub off. You know, like let's say I just go to a game and I see these 70 people going nuts cheering. I'm inclined to cheer too.
Any chance they're acknowledged before the game by a Buck player or coach?
Oh, I'm sure you'll get waves and things like that, but we'll see. But you'll see. You'll give your sage wisdom on the impact.
If a player waves, I'm gonna take it that they're waving to the press box, that they spot me in the camper. Would that be a mistake?
That very well could be. Now, let's go back to the field, Ira. I'm going to put you on the spot since you asked me this. Put me on the spot on your podcast, Ira. How dare you? Anyway, defense. Who give me a one or two stars that you expect to shine in this game? That you expect, you put your money on to shine in this game. Defense.
I'll say 54, Levante David. I think Mike Smith has grown comfortable in the versatility of Levante David. Dirk Cutter is now very, very aware of it. Multi-talented, multitasker, and Smith's not afraid to use him in various roles. I think David's going to have a hand in a turnover. Tip ball, forced fumble, something like that. David's chomping at the bit. I think he's going to have a good season, Levante David. By his own words, he didn't have a good season last year. I thought he came on pretty strong towards the end. But Levante David himself holds himself to a high standard, was not happy at all with the season he turned in. I think this year is going to be a different story.
There was the San Diego game he put up a goose egg? I may be wrong, but there
didn't
was
show
a,
up in the stat sheet.
He did not show, and that's just incomprehensible for a man like Levante David. I'm sort of thinking your way of thinking, sort of, different player. I don't think there's an offensive coordinator with a piece of a brain that's going to even try to test Levante David. I don't think there's an offensive coordinator in the NFL that's got a piece of a brain that's going to try to contest Quan Alexander. We both know the Bears are going to try to run the ball. You're John Fox. Mind you, there's no tape on the Bucks yet. If you're John Fox, who are you going to go after? You're going to go after a rookie. Mr. Beckwith is going to have a hell of a game.
To him today. He said he can't wait.
Expect him to blow up because the Bears are going to test him.
Now, they may get that guy Cone out in the flat with a little four-yard pass, and Beckwith's the first guy in the area. You know, a lot of responsibility on Beckwith's shoulder.
Sure. I expect Beckwith to have a big game because any football coach, much less an NFL coach, if you don't have tape on a guy and he's a rookie and the other two guys, Quan is arguably one of the best he's the most underappreciated linebacker in the NFL. Levante David is obviously a Pro Bowler. You're going to go after the rookie.
This might be the weakest set of wide receivers in the league. Very, very, very nondescript.
Oh, sure.
Very nondescript.
Sure. And they knew that going in, too. They knew that going in.
Their main
Bears.
Maybe Buffalo, not at Watkins is gone. Yeah,
I'm saying Buffalo. There's some teams out there, some horrible wide receivers. San Francisco?
Their main passing attack is to swing the ball out to this guy, Cone, and try to let him do his stuff.
Get out in space,
that's their thing right now.
Yeah, I think it should be interesting. I'm looking for Will Golston to show up, prove that he is back, healthy.
And deserving
of the money. Quiet preseason, not a bad preseason, but very quiet preseason. He's a big guy. And this is his kind of game, the Bears. He had a big game against them last year, if I remember, against the run. Well, actually, you know, the Bears ran the ball pretty well. I'm thinking of a different game. And actually, I think Lavonte David's goose egg, wasn't that in Arizona? I don't know if that was
possible.
I think it was earlier in the season. I was thinking.
Who gets the carries for the Bucs on Sunday?
But I'm looking for
Golston. It couldn't have been San Diego. He had a pick six, didn't he?
Yeah.
So looking
for Golston to step up. Offense, you know, frankly, I think the running game is going to surprise. I think the Bucs are going to be able to run the ball.
How many rushing attempts for Rodgers, Lee?
Fewer the better.
Maybe 12 to 15, would you say?
Yeah, that's fair. Then they'll bring in the one-trick pony.
He's still on Charles Sims' case. Charles Sims was the star of the game a year ago in week one.
Not running the ball. Yeah. You know, it goes back to the Michael Clayton theory. Mark Domenico always said, oh, he blocks so well. Well, put a freaking tackle out there if he can block so well. He's a wide receiver. His main job is to catch the ball. You know? Come on.
I just can't wait for this game. We get football. This is fun. I can't.
All the conjecture ends.
All the conjecture ends. All the baloney. All the months and months of us rambling on and on. Here it is. Now we've got real football to talk about, to write about.
Cuban sandwiches in the press box, Lee. It's all good. The Bucs put out a great spread. I mean, we've been around this whole league over there.
You know, I'm shocked that you don't. What is the ice cream they have? The Bananas Foster.
The Bananas Foster.
You're not a banana?
I'm not a big practitioner. It doesn't go good with the bagel and the schmear. You don't want my stomach turning in the third quarter.
I don't think I've ever had the Bananas Foster, but I knew, though, not me. Oh, yeah, I think it's happened to me once before, but there's other Buccaneers media members that have gotten ill in the stomach because they mix too many things.
Can you imagine our listeners, Steve, listening to this and sports writers talking about free food in the press box and wish they had this, and this caused a problem in your stomach. They don't want to hear this.
Yeah, they think we're idiots. You know, these are the people paying $9 for a turkey leg out in you know, a dry turkey leg in the third level, you know, or an $11 beer. And we're sitting here, you know, where we're playing the scorecard on the roast.
The Bucs treat us very well.
All the sliced goodies, and you know, I will say though, by the time the Bananas Foster is rolled out, I've already eaten too much. I can't eat that stuff. And you know what? It's a banana vanilla ice cream. I could do that at home.
Gary Shelton's usually one of the first people in line for the Bananas Foster.
I've seen him leave with 2 minutes left in the first half. He goes, they're not going to score. Here I go.
I always thought you were a Bananas Foster guy. I know Shelton is, but
no, I'm not big on bananas.
All right, Ira, because we won't be back till Tuesday. If the Bucs win, which we all think they will, Lee, think this is a Bucs victory?
Yes.
Bucs victory here. How much does the national bandwagon grow starting on Monday with the Bucs 1-0, playing against a team with high visibility, and here come the Bucs with a convincing win, and you know they've been kind of a sexy team this offseason, Bucs 1-0. What do you think?
Steve, let's calm down. The Bears have high visibility. When's the last time you heard
Peter? Yes.
Last time you heard Peter Schrager wax eloquent on the Bears. By the way, he just did a big Rondé Barber thing.
Mm-hmm. He loves Rondé Barber.
Good for him. I hope it helps me.
But Steve's right. The Bears are the Bears. That's a historic team, monster fan base. No pun intended.
It's a historic team that's going 4-12. You know, with the coach hanging by a thread. The Chicago papers. Martin said this to me. He said they're using the. They're calling John Fox the interim coach. I mean, this is unbelievable that's going on.
I can see
there.
Mike North saying that.
But it will give it'll give the Bucs a big confidence boost if they take care of business Sunday. Going into Minnesota. Minnesota is a decent team. Not a great team, but a decent team.
More than decent. I think they're playoff material.
I think they're better on defense than they are on offense.
Defense, Ira. Great. Returned almost everybody. They got five Pro Bowlers on defense.
Great linebackers.
Mike Zimmer knows what he's doing. They got
playmakers at every level on defense.
Yeah,
they do.
Defense.
Because isn't the next game Minnesota? I'm getting up there. That's going to be a hell of a.
Are you going up there, Kepper?
Yes.
Wow, nice. New stadium.
New stadium. I've never been to Minnesota.
I'm not
before.
Jumping on the Sam Bradford bandwagon.
You don't think the Bucs get a lot of national love if they win Sunday? Not yet. Too early.
Not yet. No, right. There's a lot bigger games around the
league.
Because
people think that's not a must win. That should be a win.
Odds makers, 7 points. Bucs expected to win. We don't want to think about the flip side.
Here's the flip side. I'm getting ahead of myself here. I'll more than think about it. Let's say these two running backs the Bears got. Neither one of them are first-round picks. Embarrass the Bucs defense. Win or lose, embarrass the Bucs defense. And then you go to Minnesota and cook goes wild.
Well, Elizabeth says Cook looked pretty darn good the other night.
I know you're going to say, well, I don't have power. I didn't see it. He did look good. But, I mean, let's think of the fan reaction. A lot of fans, I'm one of them, Steve was one of them, screaming for light to get Dalvin Cook. Screaming. I understand, O.J. Howard, you can't pass him up. Cook was still, you still could have traded up in the second round, which is just what Spielman did with the Vikings. So let's just say, hypothetically, the Bucs win Sunday. But the defense is embarrassed by the two running backs the Bears got in the mid-rounds. Then you go up to Minnesota. Dalvin Cook puts over 100 yards on him. Buck fans are going to be going bananas, no pun intended with the Fosters, if the Bucs running game stinks and all these running backs are tearing up the Bucs.
But if the Bucs get the W, Lee, there's your deodorant.
It's a deodorant, but we all know fans love to kvetch. And they're going to go crazy if the Bucs running game is doing nothing, which I sort of expect, and all these running backs are putting up numbers on the Bucs defense.
I think Smith's defense is going to show up big time on Sunday.
Yeah, it should be interesting. Yeah, the whole running back thing is an interesting dynamic to the season. I was never a Dalvin Cook guy, although I would have been happy if they drafted him. I just thought they had to leave this draft,
with
a
running
back.
The Chiefs running back looks spectacular.
Well, somebody besides Playbook McSnootville.
Yeah, they had to leave this draft with a solid running back.
Kareem Hunt looked fantastic.
And they didn't do it. But like I said before, I do think the Bucs running game will be a shining light in this game coming up on Sunday. Doesn't mean that anybody's going for 100 yards. Just means it'll be efficient. You know, 4 yards a carry, that they'll be good. So, I think it might soothe some people.
So, Steve, and Ira, I want you to chime in as well. So, Steve, you're thinking what light has, you know, all the people at Bellyache, the Bucs didn't address the offensive line, and light saying, wait a minute, we got Squeezy, and we upgraded the center by moving Marpet over.
Right.
So in theory, he believes the offensive line, he did address it. What your take on what Light says about the offensive line?
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, it's a
you've
question
heard Light
mark.
Say, we're picking Sweezy up. It's like getting another first-round draft pick or something, you know.
Yeah, it's still a big question mark.
Light claims they upgraded in two positions.
I'm not sure I buy it, but we have to see it. I mean, Marpet hasn't played there, but I'm sure he's probably better than Hall he was last year. We certainly hope so. Is Sweezy better than Marpet? Last year, I'd be shocked. Would you take that bet that Sweezy's better than Marpet was last year?
Not coming off an injury, no.
All I know is, guys, got to take care of business because you're not going to be favored in Minnesota. You're not going to be favored. The Bucs will be underdogs.
Depends. If they rack up 40 points against the Bears,
yeah.
I don't know. But Minnesota, look, you know, you brought up Sam Bradford. I know we're getting a game ahead of ourselves. I've never been on the anti-Sam Bradford bandwagon. He gets beat up a lot, especially.
You said he had zero weapons
you're right. In St. Louis.
You're right.
Zero weapons. And I remember seeing a game, you know, I just happened to be, the Bucs had a bye week. I just happened to be in St. Louis at the same time. And they were playing Harbaugh's 49ers. The year they went to the NFC Championship game, they beat the Saints and they lost in overtime that year. And Bradford tore apart the 49ers. The only thing he had to throw to was Amendola, who's, you know, 10 games out of the year, he was hurt.
Steve,
he tore him apart.
Steve, to be fair, the other night they were going against the Saints defense, which doesn't get any better year after year. It doesn't get any better.
Well, you know, here's one for you. We made our wager. I got the Saints +7 against the Patriots.
I don't remember that.
It's on the audio. We got the audio.
When's the last time a Super Bowl winning coach has had 3 losing seasons in a row and survived?
Ooh, nice.
Think about that. I don't remember one.
I'm picking the Bucs, gentlemen. I'm picking the Bucs.
All right, Ira, we're going to end with that since that's what we all want. We're expecting.
Well, we got to get all 3 picks. I mean, gentlemen.
Well, I expect the Bucs to win. I'm going to say 2016 Bucs victory.
You know, I think it's going to be fairly close.
So you think, Steve, the offense is going to struggle because of rust in the first half and they come around in the second half?
I just think it's going to be one of those games, a lot of possession, 2016. That's what I like.
You picking the Bucs, Lee?
Yeah. And I'm sort of like thinking like Steve, although I think higher points. I was going to say like 24-21.
Offensive star of the game, Steve?
Offensive star of the game. Jameis, America's quarterback.
There you go.
I think he'll be solid. Look, Bears defense is solid, was reasonably solid last year. Aside from 2 breakdowns, they were pretty solid against Atlanta, who's got, you know, just as powerful an offense as the Bucs, if not stronger. So, yeah, victory is victory. So who cares? If they win, and we'll all be smiling, and fans will be going bananas.
My offensive start of the game, Cam Brate. Fox is going to be so scared of DeSean Jackson and Mike Evans, the seam routes are going to be there all day.
Nice.
And we both know the chemistry that Jameis and Brate have. I bet Brate goes crazy.
Good luck with your fantasy football team. All right. Do you feel the magic of fantasy football now? Do you are you getting the?
I put my lineup out today. I don't want to be caught short over there. I'm 1-0, the Kemper.
Are you
1-0? Even though I got nothing out of Russell Wilson.
Are you feeling it? Are you enjoying it?
Yes.
You get it now.
I do get it.
By the way, I'm also getting the distinct
impression I better hit the waiver wire hard in the next week or two.
I was able to mind meld with Dante, and from Dante I learned this. When I was doing his lineup on the computer, he's got one of these little. It looks like a dunce hat. It's one of these pointy hats, and it's got crescent moons on it. And Ira calls himself the wizard. He's like, Dante, I'm the wizard.
All right, get out of here, Ira.